We're doing Pirkei Avot with Rabbeinu Yonah, and we're finishing the eighth Mishnah of the first Perek. We had learned that Yehuda ben Tabbai taught that when facing two people in court, when you see the two people having it out, you should view them both as wicked people. When you end the court case, then you look at them both as righteous people. But during the court case, you have to view them both as wicked people. When you see the two people standing before you, treat them, you should view them as wicked people. Meaning, don't shift your heart to one of them and think, oh, he's got it right, he's the right one in this case. Because if you think so-and-so walked into here with a long beard and he's got it right and the other one's cheating him, if you start off the case looking at them that way, so then you'll never get the right answer. You'll never get to the truth. Because we sometimes feel like we have a knack. Oh, I got it. From the beginning, we get a feeling who's right and who's wrong. And the Rabbeinu Yonah says, it is the arbitrary whims of your heart that decided who's right and who is wrong. We think we got it. We just hear the beginning and we think we know. And once you've decided that so-and-so is right, he's righteous, then you'll interpret everything in his favor. But you should view them both as wicked people, as though they're both liars. And don't let your heart sway towards one of them until you attain the truth. And most of us encounter this, we encounter it almost daily. We encounter it when we hear stories in the news. We encounter it when our children come to us and they have a fight, they have an argument, and we have to decide who's right. And whoever's noticed himself in this position realizes how true it is. That very often we decide, this one's right, that one's wrong. And once we decide one of them is right, it's very hard for us to hear that they're wrong.
Does it go into why it takes, like, you know, you can think of American lawyer, both innocent until proven guilty. Here it's not both, not necessarily guilty, but maybe right. Both certainly capable of being guilty until proven otherwise. Why that's preferable? Does he go into that? And the other thing is, just like you can easily view everything through rose-colored glasses, once you decide what is righteous, or you could say that you, once you decide they're both wicked, then you could easily view them both negatively in the same way.
I think he alluded to it when he said, once you decide someone's right, you're going to have a very difficult time seeing something that he did as wrong. Whereas if you think both of them are wrong, well, what are we looking for? They're both claiming the other one's wrong. We're trying to get to the bottom line of who really is wrong. So if I approach it with that open mind, they're both wrong. So then I could eventually discover who's in the right. They're both right. Trying to win me over, right? I'm not reaching the bottom line this way. I'm just, in order to be open to seeing, each one's going to claim he's righteous, he's perfect. So I have to counter that. I have to be able to listen closely and think, maybe he's lying, maybe he's not telling me.
Because, I mean, usually the lawyers will say, you know, you wear in your best clean-cut suit and you bring in character references saying how great you are to try and persuade the court, the jury. So the idea that, you know, you're capable of doing a lot worse than you're even seeing here, you have that in their mindset. It seems good. I just think, yeah, interesting. Whether it's different than
וכשנפטרים מלפניך, but when they leave you, יהיו בעיניך כצדיקים. You should view them as righteous people, כשקיבלו עליהם את הדין, when they accepted the ruling. זוהי מידת החסידות. So here, the Rabbeinu Yonah says that this is a level of piety. אחר שאתה יודע שהאחד טען שקר, even though your ruling will say at the end that one of them made a claim that was false. לא יהיה בעיניך לעולם בחזקת שקרן ובעל דין קשה. You shouldn't view him from that day onward as a liar, as a difficult person. ואין רואי לחושדו שקיבל עליו את הדין. And it's not right to suspect him when he accepted the ruling, ויצא מבית דין חייב, and he left court, he paid, he left court obligated, and he accepted it. ויש לחשוב שחזר בתשובה.
He
says you should view it as though he did tshuva ven dato lasot ken kol yamav, and he's decided he's never going to do this again.
He's used this recently. You know, people who had some problems in the past, so they pay their debt. He's not like that.
So this is a level of piety, to be able to look at someone and say, okay, he did wrong, he paid for it, he accepted the ruling, and now I should be able to view him positively. Mishnah Tet, short Mishnah. Shimon ben Shatach omer. Shimon ben Shatach says, "Ve marbe lachkor ta'edim." When you question, cross-examine the witnesses, then do this a lot. You should have a lot of questions as you research them. Ve've zeir bidvarecha, but be careful as you speak. Shema mitocham yilmedu l'shaker, lest they learn to lie out of what you've said. Meaning, if you're going to ask them a lot of questions, you might lead them to, you might guide them how to lie best to convince you. So be careful how you ask the questions. The Rabbein Yonah says, Shimon ben Shatach omer v'marbe lachkor ta'edin. Shimon ben Shatach says, question the witnesses a lot. Lasot lehem drisha v'chakira arbe pamim. You should verify the essence of their testimony and question the evidence surrounding it many times. Uvazeh tegaleh sod, and out of asking the questions many times, you'll discover the secret. Ki berov devarim lo yechdal pasha. Because if you get a person to speak a lot, then invariably he will stumble. Umlamed mitoch divrehem im leshaker hayidu. And from their words, you'll be able to learn if they lied. And this is a phenomenal tactic, the way Rabbeinu Yonah explains it. Very often, if you want to find out information, the way to do it is to repeatedly ask the same question. I say this when you're looking into a shidduch. Ask the same question many times. Who is she? What can you tell me about her? What type of person is she? What's her personality like? Can you describe her to me? You're asking the same question with different words. But because you're asking it many times, each time the person feels obligated to say a different answer. So you're going to hear more and more and more. And if you repeatedly ask the same question, you will get more information. People hesitate to do that. It's a phenomenal tactic. You ask the same question, and sometimes, every time you meet the person, you can ask the same question. Sometimes you could raise the same question numerous times throughout the proceedings. The court will ask the question at the onset, and then ask it again an hour later, and then ask it again later. And the fact that you keep asking it corners the person, and finally, if you get him to talk enough, he's going to make a mistake, and you'll learn something.
This is the judge. Or
the judge, yeah.
Or if he's right, he says all the things at the same time, and it doesn't struggle.
Right. Ve'ezeir bidvarecha, yeah.
Sounds like, I mean, it's good, because, you know, like you say, the person has to open up, and hopefully you'll get new information that's true. That's the judge's decision, obviously, but you probably get your example, you count it by all the time, I mean. Then you have to evaluate, you know, is this a characteristic or is this something that this person may have done once, and, you know, whatever.
Is there not a danger if you're asking somebody all the time the same question that
that's what that's getting at?
That he wants turns, like, to get rid of it? Like,
or he just wants to satisfy you, and the loyalty to the truth may become a little bit lax. It depends who you're asking, but I think the tactic itself sounds wonderful in terms of getting more information. How accurate the information may be, what you do with it, that's, as an expert, you're a judge in that kind of case, you probably decide. Not everybody who says something a little negative, you say, forget it. So.
Ve'ezir bidvarecha, so be careful what you say, shema mitocham ilmedu l'shaker, lest they learn how to lie based on your questioning. Ki kshetachkor otam al shum inyan, because when you question them about something, tuchal ledaber dvarecha shem yavinu meze tzad techayev oto b'dino. The way you phrase your questions can teach them, they can infer from it in which answer will cause them to come out obligated. וילמדו מתוך דבריך מה צריכים לשקר כדי לזכות. And then they might learn from your questioning what lies they have to say in order to come out ahead. So this is a dual responsibility. Ask a lot and be careful how you ask.
Not always the same way.